You ever watch a warbird come down the chute at 470 miles an hour, wingtip maybe 50 feet off the sagebrush, and think to yourself that right there is the most beautiful and terrifying thing human beings have ever dreamed up? I'm Tail Dragger, and this is The Hangar, right here on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair, because today we're going back to Reno, Nevada, September 16, 2011. The day the Galloping Ghost came apart in front of 10,000 people, and nothing about unlimited air racing was ever the same again. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, to understand what happened that Friday afternoon in the Nevada desert, you have to understand what Reno is. The National Championship Air Races had been running since 1964 out at Reno Stead Airport, which is really just a strip of concrete north of town surrounded by high desert and dust and sunburn, and the Unlimited class. That's the headliner. That's the class where people take World War II fighters, mostly P-51 Mustangs, and modify them within an inch of their lives to go faster than the engineers at North American Aviation ever imagined. We're talking clipped wings. We're talking engines blueprinted and boosted to produce 3,000 horsepower or more out of a Rolls-Royce Merlin that was originally designed for maybe 1,500. We're talking cooling systems, redesigned, canopies, cut down, every rivet countersunk, paint polished until the fuselage looks like a chrome mirror screaming through the desert air. These are not museum pieces. These are race machines wearing the skin of a warbird, and they fly a closed course, 8 pylons, roughly 8.5 miles around, at altitudes so low you can see the pilot's helmet visors from the grandstand. The Galloping Ghost was a highly modified P-51D Mustang, race number 177. She'd been around the Reno circuit for years, and she was fast. Her pilot was a man named Jimmy Leeward, 74 years old, a real estate developer from Ocala, Florida, a man who'd been flying since he was a teenager and racing at Reno since the mid-70s. He had over 27,000 flight hours. 27,000. That's not a weekend warrior. That's a lifetime spent in the sky. Jimmy was the kind of guy who could fly anything, who'd owned and raced multiple aircraft over the decades, and who understood the risks of unlimited racing as well as any human being alive. Now here's where it gets interesting and where it gets tragic, because the two things are tangled up together and you can't separate them. The Galloping Ghost had been extensively modified over the years. The airframe had been lightened, the engine had been tweaked for maximum power, and critically, the elevator trim system had been changed. On a stock P-51, the elevator trim tab is controlled by a cable system connected to a wheel in the cockpit. The pilot turns the wheel, the cable moves the trim tab on the elevator, and the tab aerodynamically deflects the elevator to change the pitch attitude of the airplane. It's a simple, proven system. But on the Galloping Ghost, modifications had been made to that system over the years, and the trim tab was connected through a series of components that included screws and lock nuts and fittings that were subjected to enormous aerodynamic loads at racing speeds. The day was hot, the air was bumpy, the unlimited gold race was underway, and the Galloping Ghost was running fast, estimated at around 470 miles per hour as she came around the course. And then, somewhere on the backside of the course, something went catastrophically wrong. What the National Transportation Safety Board later determined was that a lock nut on the elevator trim tab actuator had loosened. The trim tab connection failed, and when that happened, the trim tab, which at those speeds was carrying enormous aerodynamic force, deflected hard, the elevator followed, and the airplane pitched up violently. We're talking somewhere between 10 and 17 Gs of acceleration in an instant. That is beyond anything a human body can survive with consciousness. Jimmy Leeward was almost certainly incapacitated immediately. His body simply could not remain conscious under that kind of load. The Galloping Ghost pitched up, rolled, and then dove nearly straight down into the spectator box seat area in front of the grandstand. The impact was devastating. Jimmy Leeward was killed. 10 spectators were killed. 69 more were injured, some of them grievously. It was the worst air racing disaster in decades, and it happened in full view of the crowd, in full view of the television cameras, in an era where cell phone video meant the whole world would see it within hours. I want to stop here for a moment and talk about Jimmy, because he deserves more than just being the name attached to a crash report. The people who knew him said he was generous, funny, utterly devoted to aviation, and sharp as a tack even in his 70s. He mentored younger pilots, he poured his own money into the sport he loved, he understood that what he was doing was dangerous, Every pilot in the Unlimited class understands that. You don't strap into a 70-year-old airframe with a 3,000-horsepower engine and fly it 50 feet off the ground at the speed of a modern airliner without understanding that the margin is razor thin. But Jimmy believed in the engineering. He believed in his airplane, and he believed in himself. And for decades, that belief was justified. The investigation that followed was exhaustive. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, published a detailed report. They found that the trim tab system failure was the initiating event, but they also looked at the broader picture. They looked at the modification culture in unlimited air racing, where airframes are pushed far beyond their original design parameters. They looked at the inspection and maintenance practices. They looked at the question of whether spectators were seated too close to the race course.
And this is where the story becomes about more than one airplane on one afternoon. Because what the Galloping Ghost disaster forced the entire air racing community to confront was a question that had been hovering in the background for years. How far can you push a 70-year-old airframe before the metal says enough? See, a stock P-51 Mustang was designed for a certain flight envelope, a certain speed range, a certain G-load range, a certain number of flight hours before major structural inspection. When you take that same airframe and add 600 horsepower to the engine, clip the wingtips to reduce drag, cut down the canopy, and fly it at speeds the original designers never contemplated, you have created something new, something that no longer fits neatly into the original engineering data. The stress on every rivet, every spar, every fitting, every control surface linkage is different, and the question is, who's doing the math? Who's running the stress analysis? In many cases, the answer was, well, the owner and his mechanic, a couple of smart guys in a hangar with a lot of experience and a lot of passion, but not necessarily the engineering resources of an aircraft manufacturer. That's not a criticism. That's the reality of the sport. Unlimited air racing has always lived at the intersection of grassroots ingenuity and professional-grade risk, and for decades it worked. Not perfectly. There had been accidents before, pilots had died before, but the Galloping Ghost disaster was different because of the spectator casualties. When the risk moved beyond the cockpit and into the grandstand, everything changed. After 2011, the Reno Air Races implemented new safety measures. Spectator areas were moved farther from the course. New inspection requirements were put in place for race aircraft. There was serious discussion about whether the races should continue at all. And they did continue for a while, but the event was never quite the same. Attendance was down, sponsorship was harder to find, insurance costs climbed, and then in 2023, the Reno Air Racing Association announced that the races at Reno Stead Airport were ending. The final national championship air races were held in September 2023. After 59 years at that dusty desert airport, the pylons came down. Now, there's been talk of the races moving to a new venue. There's an effort underway to keep unlimited air racing alive in some form. And I hope they succeed, honestly, because there is nothing else in aviation that sounds like a Merlin engine at full song. Nothing else that looks like a pack of Mustangs and Sea Furies and Bearcats jockeying for position at pylon height. It is the most visceral, raw, unfiltered expression of what a piston-engine airplane can do, and losing it would be losing something irreplaceable. But the Galloping Ghost is the reason the conversation even has to happen. One lock nut, one trim tab, one moment where the accumulated stress of decades of modification and thousands of hours of vibration and load cycling finally found the weak point. And the physics did what physics always does. It doesn't care how many hours you have. It doesn't care how good a stick you are. When the structure fails at 470 miles an hour, you're a passenger. I think about Jimmy Leeward sometimes, and I think about all the Reno pilots, past and present, who climbed into those cockpits knowing exactly what they were risking. There's a kind of courage in that which I think non-pilots have a hard time understanding. It's not recklessness. It's a clear-eyed acceptance that the thing you love most might also be the thing that kills you, and choosing to do it anyway because the alternative, a life spent on the ground watching someone else fly, is worse. The Galloping Ghost was a beautiful airplane. Jimmy Leeward was a hell of a pilot, and the people who died in those grandstands were there because they loved aviation too. Every one of them chose to be at that airfield on that September day because something about the sound and the speed and the spectacle of those old warbirds spoke to them. And that is worth remembering. All of it, the beauty and the tragedy and the cost, most of what I shared today comes from the NTSB accident report on the Galloping Ghost, along with coverage from Air and Space Magazine and the Reno Air Racing Association's own history. You can find more about the legacy of Reno Air Racing at RadioHangar.com.
Fly safe, and if you ever get the chance to hear a Merlin at full power, take it. You'll understand why people risked everything to be close to that sound.